I was just so blessed. I was a little late in getting here this morning. I apologize, but I was so blessed coming in and the worship that was going on, and to see Pastor Jess moving prophetically. I tell you, I believe in these last days, we're going to see more and more the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to see the prophetic in our churches, because we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is really all we need. But I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit zeroes in on you and speaks a word in due season to you, it's just like, oh God, you know my address. You know where I am. And all the ladies that were up here, I mean, how could the Holy Spirit make that word minister to one person over here that's believing for her healing, and another person here that's believing for her child, and another person there that's got a financial need? That's the Holy Spirit. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? He is a very present help in time of need. Hallelujah. Well, are you good? Everybody good? Well, I am so blessed with this series that Pastor Deborah has been teaching, and it tends to kind of be theological, and so some of us are having to kind of crank up the gray matter. It's like, whoa, that's bigger than a four-letter word she's using there. But anyway, but it's good. It's good. We're getting some mental exercise. There we go. Yeah, that's good. And but it's been said, and I so agree, that we will never know who we are until we discover who he is. We will never fully know who we are until we really discover who he is. And in discovering who he is and all that he did for us and all that he wants to do in and through us, then we'll fully realize who we are. Are you with me? Is it good? I tell you, when he said it is finished on the cross, it is finished. He did everything that he's going to do about your healing, about your finances, about that husband you want, about all of it. He did everything. And when he said it is finished, it is finished. And so now our part is just to receive what he's already done. So we need to find out what he's done so we can say thank you very much and receive it. Are you good? Everybody good? So the first week, lesson one, Pastor Deborah ministered some amazing things. The thing I got out of it was about that duct tape. I went and bought all different kinds of colors of duct tape, and I thought, you know, if I've got to do this, I'm gonna clean it up. And so we'll have duct tape on sale next week. No, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, get the CD. And she said that there's four pillars of doctrine. On this, the Christian doctrine is established. These are things that cannot be compromised. There's no variableness here. If you're talking to someone that's in a particular religion and they're saying something different about any one of these four areas, they're not Christian as the Bible teaches it. A lot of people say in Christian now, I love God. Love God can be a lot of things. Is it big G God, revealed through the man Jesus Christ? Or is it little G God that's a whole lot of things? We're talking about Jesus, or we're talking about God? It's almost a buzzword now. It's almost popular to say, oh, God bless you. Even the Academy Awards, God bless you. That was a perverted movie, and you're saying God bless you? No, anyway, so these things cannot be compromised. Number one, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the preeminence, the preexistence of Jesus. He was there in the beginning, all God and all man. Number two, that the Word was with God, understanding the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word, that Jesus is the Word of God, understanding his deity. No man comes to the Father but by him. You can't move Jesus out of the way and say he was a good man. He was either the Son of God or he was a lunatic, because he said he was the Son of God. We got to get this straight. Are you with me? That's why Pastor Deborah, I so appreciate her, because she's helping us to get some roots down deep. So in these last days, when there says that many will come saying that they're the Christ and they're the Messiah, we'll go, no, you haven't split the eastern sky. No, it ain't you. You know, and we will know who we're about, and we will know. We will not be fooled by something just because it's all dazzling and gives us goosebumps. Are you with me? Okay. And number four, the Word became flesh, understanding Christ's humanity, that he became flesh. And had he not walked this flesh existence, had he not come, all God and all man, and walked this existence, we would not have access to the Father today. It's very important that you don't compromise that, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God longed for that day. Says he wasn't pleased with the animal sacrifices, but it was kind of like trying to keep faith alive to believe for the real sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect lamb. They had to examine the lamb under the Old Testament and make sure it was flawless before it was worthy to be sacrificed. With a view, a prophetic view to Jesus coming, he was without sin. He never told a white lie. He never exaggerated a truth. He was the truth. Are you with me? And he was the last Adam. The first Adam blew it, but he was the last Adam. He said, God, prepare me a body, and I will die, and I will be representative man. I will die, and I will defeat the power of death and hell and rise from the dead, receive a glorified body, offer my blood on the mercy seat, and pay for the sin of the world. And sin has been eradicated from those that have received that gift of life. When you receive that payment for sin, it's gone. You receive the giant eraser. It erased all your sin. He erased all your sin. And now you can come boldly before the throne of God in your time of need and receive what you need. Isn't that good? He paid a great price for you to be able to do that. So don't sleep in. He paid a great price so that you could come boldly before the throne. We have to take ourselves by the ear, yank ourselves out of bed, get before that throne and do some warfare so that the enemy doesn't keep messing with our family. Amen? I'm getting so far ahead of myself. But then lesson two, she really highlighted how Jesus, last week, how Jesus is the I am. He said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. I love it in John 18:6 when they came for Jesus in the garden with their sticks and their swords. And they were with him every day, but now they're going to have to come with swords to try to take him captive. Like he carried a sword with him around. And they said, are you the one who says he is the Son of God? And he said, I am. Now in your Bible, it'll say, I am he, but that he is italicized. It was added by the translators. He said, I am, because he was the I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am, and the whole legion of soldiers all fell backwards under the power of him decreeing, I am. They knew they were messing with God that day. They knew that this was not a usual man. He is our king and our high priest. Amen? I love what Louis Giglio, he said. He said, I am not, but I know I am. We know that I am. I am not. I am not worthy. I don't know anything. I'm too stupid to do this. But I know I am. I am that I am God. Are you with me? So we're looking at Jesus' deity. We're looking at the Godhead. We're looking at the God that we serve, who is actually a triune God. Can we have that triquetra up that I sent to you guys? This is a triquetra. And in the early church, they kind of invented this symbol. It's actually become a part of, I guess, the Irish cross. They always have that on the Irish cross. But it signifies three but one. It's one line that makes up all three segments. Isn't that cool? You can start at the top, and I tried drawing one. That wasn't turning out too good. But anyway, they called it the triquetra. It is a representative of the triune God that we serve. The word Trinity is not actually in the Bible. It was established in about 200 AD by Tertullian. But it's a term that describes they're three, but yet they're one. They're three, but yet they're one. How does three equal one? I don't know. I don't get it. But that is the God that we serve. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God. Turning your Bibles to Genesis 1. For some of these things, we've got to go back to the beginning. And many of these verses Pastor Deborah quoted last week, but she asked that I highlight this even more. So if a bit of it seems a little redundant, I apologize. I'm under authority, and I love it. Tell me what to preach, I preach. It's so much easier than, oh God, what do you want me to preach? There's Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot of books of the Bible. Anyway, so she did me a favor. She said, could you please focus on his deity a bit more? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. But in Genesis 1:26, look at this. Then God said, let us, capital U there. The Hebrew there is Elohim. It is a plural form of God. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And I like to tell single women that he'll even give you authority over creeps. Take dominion, girls. Kick them out. Anyway, but he said, let us make man in our image, and we are made in the image of God. Genesis 3:22, also he uses that word, us. We are made in the image of God. Isaiah 6:8, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Plural form of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three and yet one. We're not pantheists. We don't serve many gods. We are monotheists. We serve the one and true God revealed through three divine personalities. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if your mind doesn't get that, don't worry about it. You are finite. He is infinite. Some of these things we just can't get. You're just not going to get. Because guess what? He's the creator. You're the created. I use electricity all the time. Do I get it? No. I just flick on that light. I don't get it. Do I understand how there's waves in the air that help me to get a text from Pastor Jess? No. I don't get that, but I do it. I'm a little texter. Fastest thumbs in the West. But anyway, our mind cannot conceive of these things. We don't grasp eternity. How can you think outside of a time continuum? We think linearly. Everything we think of is in the time context. So to imagine a world without time, I remember when I was little going, aren't we going to get bored in heaven if it goes on forever and never, never? But there's no sense of time. No, we aren't going to get bored, by the way. No. But there's no sense of time. Ezekiel said where God sits, it's like the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He can look down this spoke, and there's the Garden of Eden. This spoke, and Jesus is returning. There is no time where he sits. He is. And he's always been. But some of these truths we have to just receive by faith. If somebody wants to argue with you about it, say, well, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I'm just like the little ant on the picnic lunch. I don't get it. I don't understand humans. I'm a little ant. I don't understand that they can just come by and stomp on me. I can't even see the bottom of their foot. So many times I think we're like little ants on that picnic lunch, looking up. The crumb is as big as we are. And because humans are way too big for us to, the humans don't exist. That's just a shadow falling on me. Humans don't exist. Are you kidding me? And then that human just goes, it doesn't matter if they believed in humans or not. They're now history. God's not going to do that to us. But how many of you saw Louis Giglio's video that time about the galaxies, and they haven't even found the end of it? And they seem to be replenishing themselves, and new galaxies are birthed every day. Whole galaxies, our Milky Way galaxy that they haven't even counted the stars, is one of the smaller ones. So we get really, really, really small. But when you understand how small you really are, then you'll lean on his bigness. Amen? You'll lean on his bigness. You're not in charge of your world, little sister. You are so not in charge of your world. So you little control freaks, just take a chill pill. Just relax. You don't have to control your kids and your husband. I know you keep a clean house, and that's good. Use your gift there. But you can't control everything and everybody in your world. You're going to be stressed out, frazzled out, freaked out. Learn to just kick back and rest. I call it free falling. I go, God, I'm just going to free fall on you. I am a deliberate, I believe, control freak. God, I'm just free falling on you. I can't deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this. I glory in my weakness. That's why I prayed that way. I pray that all the time. I glory in my weakness that your power might rest upon me. Do we need him today, ladies? Yes. Absolutely. But we're a three-part person. It shouldn't be hard for us to understand. We're a three-part person. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I quote this a lot, but I want you to look at it, circle in your Bible, and this will help you. We're not dealing with the subject today, but this will so help you to overcome sin, to raise your kids correctly, just a lot of things. If you will understand what type of person you are. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify," that means set you apart, "completely. And may your whole spirit," talks about spirit first, because first you are a spirit, you're eternal. "Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody say, "I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit.
I have a soul.
That's
your mind, your will, and emotions. And
I live in a body.
I am a spirit.
I
have a soul.
I live in a body.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I live in a body." First of all, you're a spirit. This time continuum we're in, yeah, all this is decision-making time. To decide where that spirit's going to spend eternity. You are a spirit. And you have a soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the unique part of you that makes you you. And spirit and soul, we're going to be forever with the Lord. Now, the thing I like is we're going to have a new body. Whoop, whoop, whoop. We're going to have a new body. Yes, this body is going to be about 40 pounds thinner. It will not look anorexic. But it will look a lot better. Yeah, I'm just joking. But so it is important that we renew our minds. This is where we have stinking thinking. And as we renew our minds to the Word of God, then your soul and your spirit come in agreement. See, your spirit, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, always wants to obey God, right? When you first wake up in the morning, the Spirit says, "Get up and pray, get up and pray." Your spirit always wants to obey God. But if your mind isn't in agreement, your will isn't in agreement, then it's like, "Oh, 15 more minutes," or, "Oh, let me just roll over," or, "Oh, that second piece of pie." You know, your soul, your will, your emotions has to come in line with the Word of God. And that's why Romans 12:2 says to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed. How? By renewing your mind. You change. You can change. That is a concept some of us need to let sink in. We can change, and the way we change, the way we become more lovely, the way we overcome, the way we accomplish what we need to do in life is by renewing or changing our minds to think like God thinks. Are you with me? So spirit and soul will forever be with the Lord, and then this imperfect body will put on a new body. We'll have a glorified body like Jesus did when he resurrected. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Are you with me? So sometimes we have a hard time understanding the Godhead because we don't realize, anytime there's more than one person on the scene, there's a sizing up, there's almost a sense of competition. I know, especially women, we know women. You know, another woman walks in the scene, let's see, am I heavier or skinnier? You know, am I uglier or cuter? Am I older or younger? That's my new thing. Am I older or younger? You know. But there's this sizing up, almost a sense of competition, but that's not the case with the Godhead. They are completely one. They are completely one. Romans 1:20 and Colossians 2:9 both talk about the Godhead. We could turn to Colossians 2:9. It says, "For in him," in Jesus, "dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The Godhead is in perfect harmony with each other. They're in perfect harmony with each other. Jesus has always been, he's always been God. He was there at creation. He's our soon coming King. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Genesis 1, I know you're still turning to Colossians 2. Just write that down and turn that back over to Genesis. It's easy to find. And at the very beginning, I want to show you that Jesus was there at the very beginning when God created the heaven and the earth. We're talking about the triune God that we serve. In the beginning, it says God created the heavens and the earth. God, Father God, created the heavens and the earth. Look at verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, there's the Holy Spirit right there. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And every aspect of creation, God said, and light was. And the heavens were separated from the earth. And he on and on and on. He spoke the world into creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all there at the very beginning. In John 1, 1 through 3, Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, through Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. He was there. And I love verse 14. Skip on down, or if you're looking on the overheads, it says, and the Word became flesh. Are you with me? There we are. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The same man that Jesus created, he became. The same man that he created, he became. He was there in the beginning. I love Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. It says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Not the sacrifice of bulls and lambs. That was only a foretelling of him. Sacrifice, this is Jesus talking to God. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. God created a body for Jesus. All God and all man. He, the seed of God, was impregnated into a virgin, into Mary. And she became the womb, the incubator for the Son of God. He needed a body, a physical body, to be on the planet, right? No body, you're not here, right? But a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. God did not even, he did not even like one little ewe lamb being sacrificed because they were innocent. But he was longing for the day that faith would be cultivated, that it would be the right season and time for his son to be born of a virgin and to walk the planet and pay the price for sin so he could buy his Adam back, so he could buy you back. He wanted you. You think you're not loved? He allowed his most precious son to cry, to die the most cruel death imaginable so he could pay the price to get sin out of the way so that there could be now a relationship with you and God. God did it for you. That's why you have to know who he is before you're going to get who you are. We have been esteemed. The Bible says he's made us a little, just a little lower than angels. We are created in his image. Think about it. My puppy was created in the image of her mommy. We are created in the image of God. That's why we get him. He gets us. Do you get it? He's our father. He's our father. I have adult children, and when they're not home, I still ache for them. Are you with me? How many have adult children? You never stop being mom. Anna goes, Mom, really? Again? You call me again? You know, it's like, I miss you, babe. I love you. I know you're busy and you have a life, but you're still my baby. God loves us. We're his children. We were created in his image, in his likeness. Jesus said, prepare me a body. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He was the express will of the Father. You want to know the will of God? Look at the life of Jesus. He walked it. He lived it everywhere he went. You want to know if it's God's will to heal you? What did Jesus do while he was here? He didn't tell anybody, well, you know, you've just been too bad. I can't heal you. And you know, no, I'm not going to heal you because I'm trying to teach you something. He never did that. Look at his life. He was the will of the Father. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, to be a sacrifice for the sin of the world. In Isaiah 53:2, and you can just look on the overheads, so I'm trying to track fast. It says, for he shall grow up before him, Jesus, will grow up before God, as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yet everywhere Jesus went, people were attracted to him. It says he wasn't handsome. He had no beauty that we would desire of him. Physically, he was kind of ugly. But yet people were drawn to him. Multitudes were drawn to him. He became so attractive. Why? Because of the Word. He was the Word of God. And I'll tell you, you start talking like God talks. You start walking in faith, believing in God, being full of faith toward your situation and those around you, not whining and complaining all the time. And no matter what you look like, people will be attracted to you. Because people are drawn to faith like moths to a light. They are drawn to faith. So begin speaking like Jesus spoke. We were attracted to him because of his word. He is the word of God. Luke 4:22 says that they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They marveled at his word. He is the word of God. Are you with me? Revelation 1:16 shows him as a mighty man returning for his people. And it says, out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, Jesus is the word of God. When you speak the word of God, he's on the scene. And he's given us his name and he's told us to speak his word. Mark 11:23-24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You will say to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast in the sea. You will say, we need to say what God says about our situation. And when we say what God says, when the word of God comes out of our mouth, it's like a two-edged sword that goes forth and cuts and divides, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon his word. Are you with me, ladies? Are you with me? Jesus is the express image of his Father. In John 14:6, John 14:9, Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father. And he says, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me? Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When we see Jesus, we see the will of the Father. He is the express will of the Father. They are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in function, but one in unity and purpose and God. Are you with me? In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's why you know if a cult is a cult, you know a false religion, by what they do with Jesus. If they diminish his deity, if he's a prophet like other prophets, if he's a good man, you know, all those things. No, he is God. He is God. And if there's any diminishing there, it's not the brand you want. And leave it and come and receive the fellowship you need with real Christians. Are you with me? So in the Old Testament, we see Jesus throughout the Old Testament, actually. We see, Pastor Deborah mentioned last week, there's a theophany that we see. It was either a theophany, God appearing as man, or a Christophany, Christ appearing as man. But it's interesting, wherever you see the angel of the Lord, all caps in the word Lord, the angel of the Lord on the scene. Many times he speaks with an authority that only God speaks. And he seems to disappear in the New Testament when Jesus is on the scene. So I'll let you make your own conclusions. But in Genesis 16:7, he appeared to Hagar. In Genesis 8:1-11, he appeared to Abraham, foretelling Isaac's birth. Three men came. Two were angels, and they left and went to Sodom and Gomorrah. But one stayed and spoke to Abraham, and he spoke as God. He spoke with authority like God or the Son of God. Genesis 22:11-12, he stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. Exodus 3:2, he appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Exodus 14:19, he appeared as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to shield and guide the Israelites through the wilderness. Yeah, that's why God got so mad when they were complaining. They had a cloud to shield them from the hot sun in the desert by day and a fire to warm them by night. And when the cloud moved, that's how they were supposed to go. And yet they began complaining like God wasn't there. They had manna, they had quail, they had the supernatural going on all around them all the time. And ladies, we actually do too. So stop that complaining. That doesn't go well with God. They could have made that trip in a few days. It took them 40 years. Yeah, that's what God will do about your complaining. He'll just let you keep wandering. God, why is anything happening with my life? Watch your mouth. I had to hear that too. But John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Daniel 3:25, he was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. It says there were three that went in, and wait, there's another one whose appearance looks like the Son of God. It's Jesus in the fiery furnace. He'll be with you in your fiery furnace. He is all in all. Jesus is all in all. And I love this. Colossians 1:15-18. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it. And I want you to circle it in your Bible. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. You can't get clearer than this, ladies. This is Bible 101. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And we're like the trillionth and 25th born. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Everything's supposed to be redeemed back to him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Are you with me, ladies? Have I lost you? Are we good? He said, and he is the head of the body. Who are we? The body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. In all things he may be Lord over it and have the last say, have the preeminence, have the authority, have the jurisdiction. Are you with me? So what does this mean to you and me? What does this mean to you and me? I've got to kind of size this up. Okay, we get it, Pastor, we get it. Jesus is God. But what does this mean to me? Number one, it means that we are not limited to our own resources, ladies. You are not limited. He gives us all a level playing field. I love it. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. It doesn't matter if you came from a wealthy family. I used to whine because I had six brothers and sisters. And I didn't know until I was an adult that we were actually pretty wealthy because my dad had such an amazing job. My mom never had to work. But because I always had to wear hand-me-downs, I thought I was poor. My mom was just a little scroogey. She's a little tight. But anyway. But when I came into a knowledge of the Word of God and I saw it, we all have a level playing field because God is our Father. So we don't have to look at where we've come from, where we seem to be at a certain place in life. We can look to Him, believe His Word, receive from Him, and live life in a different way than anybody in our family line. Are you with me? You can break that family curse. You can be who God's called you to be. Don't look back, look forward. And you are not limited to your resources. Aren't you good? The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, John 14:17, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He says, I'm dwelling with you. He dwells with you and will be in you. He was talking about how the Holy Spirit would be in us. Jesus resides within us by the Holy Spirit. We can rely on his word. Everything he's ever promised, he's brought to pass. He's not a man that he should lie. I love Philippians 4:13. I feel like there was a season in my life that I almost wore out this verse. I don't know if you can do that. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. All things. Not in my own strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's going to call on you to do some things that are outside your comfort zone. Don't remember the past and how you blew it in that occasion. And so, I don't want to do that again. I have too much rejection in that area. I want to do that, Lord. You look to him and you say, God, if you're leading me, I can do all things through you who gives me strength. I failed in the past. It didn't work in the past. Everyone that's ever succeeded, every inventor that's created and had his inventions become, you know, accepted and changed the world in areas, has had more failures than successes. The enemy reminds us of our failure because it was so uncomfortable and we went through such a hard spot that he won't want us to go there again. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center as a single person and I didn't make financial preparation. I just went there. I decided in July and went in August. And it was the hardest 2 years of my life. Yes, I loved the word I was receiving, but financially it was very, very hard for me because I hadn't made preparation. So then, a couple years later, marry my husband, he talks about going to Rhema. I started breaking out with a nervous twitch. I said, oh, no, 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 that's a scary place. Because God's there, there's also devils. They'll get you, they'll get us, we'll starve. No. And God had to get a hold of me and said, let's do it a different way. And I said, okay, if we're deciding this today, let's plan and go next year. We took a whole year to prepare. We paid off every bill. We prayed it through where we would live, what jobs we would have, and we were like a hand slipping into a glove. My husband went out there a few weeks before we did, found a perfect house. Yeah, we rented a house, ended up buying a house on a student income. How does that work? He ended up working for Willie George Ministries, which was the step for us coming here. I mean, it was just a very supernatural season of our life that we would have missed had I yielded to those fears of my past. Ladies, you can hinder the successes of your husband. You don't hear from God and let him help you. Are you with me? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love the Amplified. It says, who infuses inner strength into us. You're needing strength. Spend time in the word. Meditate on the promises that tell you you can have what you're believing for. Get the word of God in you. Let it infuse inner strength into you. And then begin to speak it out of your mouth. Let that two-edged sword come out of your mouth saying what God says about your situation. Your husband just lost his job, comes home, and he didn't know how to tell you, and he's in tears. You say, honey, God's going to meet all our need. You let the word of God rise up in you. You get it in you, and you say what God says about your situation, and you'll have what you say, according to Mark 11:23-24. Are you with me? And then I love this. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children. The King James says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. Greater is he that is in you. The one that created everything you see is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Capital H, God, in you. Than he, little h, that is in the world. That little devil. Greater is he, the creator of the universe, who's on the inside of you. Than one angel that fell like lightning from heaven. He was cast down in a nanosecond when he conceived of pride in his heart. He's a created being that was cast down. He is no match for God the Father. No match for God the Father. No match for our King Jesus. And he resides in us by the Holy Spirit. Greater is he. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to that lovely lady next to you and say, greater is Jesus in you than that little devil that's in the world. Greater, much greater. What does this mean to you and me? Number one, we're not limited by our own resources. Number two, we never have to worry about anything. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, pray about everything with thanksgiving. Once you prayed about it, the rest of your prayer life should be thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You said it is finished on the cross. You already paid for this. Thank you. I receive, Father. I'm your daughter. Remember, I'm your fave. I tell him I'm his favorite. We're all his favorites. He gets it. But that just makes me feel better. I used to say, he always answers my prayer. Anyway, then he dealt with me about pride. I shouldn't say that. So Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen to this. He already gave us the pearl of heaven. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? If I've given you my diamond ring, which I'm not going to do, it's not very big, but it's precious to me. If I give you my diamond ring, because, you know, you can go hawk it and have some money, I don't know, you wouldn't want to wear it. But if I give you my diamond ring, something that's very precious to me, and then you say, oh, you know, but to get to the pawn shop, I need some gas in my car. I've already given you my diamond ring. Am I going to have a problem handing you another $5 for you to have a little gas to go to the pawn shop? He's given us Jesus. The most precious thing to our Father God was his Son, the only begotten of the Father. He freely gave him to us that we could have life, that we could have a relationship. And we think he doesn't want to answer a prayer about financial needs or husbands or kids. No, no, no. With him, he'll freely give us all things. Are you with me? And then I love this, Ephesians 1:19-23. It's the last part of a whole section that I pray. Paul says that he did not cease to give thanks for us, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we would know, look at this, what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. That was the pinnacle of God's power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all demons, all working of the enemy. He has seated him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. If there's been a name put over your body, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever. They're coming up with names I've never heard of now. I'm like, really? It eats flesh? Whoever thought of that one? But every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet. Are feet connected to the head, ladies? No, I mean, yes, but they're connected to the body. He's the head, we're the body. Under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What is your perspective, ladies? We need to be seated with him at his right hand, looking down on our situation. Spend time with him. Get before his throne. He'll bring you up and cause you to have that heavenly perspective on your whole situation. And then number three, is understanding who Jesus is. What does it mean to us? Number three, that we must order our lives in the reverential fear of the living God. As I said a little while ago, he is God, and we are not. Let yourself feel very, 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 very small, because you really, really are. But then exalt how big he is, how good he is. We need to have the fear of the Lord. I love Matthew 10:28. It says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Don't fear man. The Bible says actually in Proverbs that the fear of man is a snare. It'll cause you to compromise. Don't care what others think. I mean, you might care when it comes to, you know, style or brushing your teeth. But don't let that get out of hand. It says, don't fear who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Don't care if your relatives are going to reject you because you go to this weird fanatical church. but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to fear God. We will answer to God someday. We came from God. We're answering to him for our life. Yeah, this little vapor time that we're in right now, we will give account before a holy God who loves us, and yet he's given us his word and said, here, you can do all things. I'll give you strength. So God is God, and we are not. We are not. I am not, but I know who I am. Did you get something today, ladies?